Shavua Tov, everyone. Today's daf, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Chet, and we're holding out the Halakha Mishnah, Mi Shebo Baderech. Mi Shebo Baderech Velo Haya B'Yado Lulav Ditol. A guy had been traveling and did not have a lulav available, and then he comes home. Why we need to know that the guy was traveling is very strange, but we're going to see in the Mishnah, in the Gemara, that there's a very good reason for this. We'll see why it talks about specifically the idea of his traveling. But anyway, he gets home, and he doesn't take his lulav as soon as he gets home, which is a big no-no. I mean, first thing he should have done was taken his lulav. And instead, he sits down to eat a su'udah. Then, if he's got to interrupt his su'udah, then just interrupt the su'udah. You eat it while you're in the middle of your table. Your shulchanov means table in the English, the old English sense, you know, while you're at your table taking your breakfast. Lo natal shacharit, and if you didn't take the lulav in the morning, so then you told ben arbayim. Look, it's not as if you run out of time on the lulav. You'll be able to be yotzi your lulav even later on in the day. Shekola yom kosher lulav, the whole day is good for a lulav. So it says, wait a minute, you're telling me he has to take it at his table? In other words, he's supposed to interrupt his meal, basically, for taking a lulav, the name of the mafsik. Didn't we have like the whole sugya about where the Gemara said in Shabbos over there? Remember at the beginning of right at the beginning of the Masechet, there are certain things you're not supposed to be doing, and if you did them, you started doing them, then you don't interrupt. So like you said, not supposed to be sitting down for a haircut before mincha. And you're not supposed to be sitting down for a seuda before mincha. It says, but if you started, that's not fair. So how come over here, when it comes to the lulav, you have to be mafsik in the middle of the meal? And over there, when we were talking about the same meal, when it came to the mitzvah of davening mincha, over there, you don't need to interrupt. Why is that? Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Safra, well, I mean, look, it depends how much time you've got left in the day. So if you feel you're getting close to the end of the day, so then enoch inami, then you have to take, close to the end, in other words, if your suddah is going to end already close to the end of the day, you might go after shkia. So that's the difference. If you've got enough time, and then you could daven mincha still, you're eating early on Shabbos, that's okay. And ha, in the Besecha Shabbos, ha, the Lekha Shabbos beyond. And over here we're talking about where if you're worried that you're not going to have time to take your lulav, so then you interrupt your meal right now. Oh, my brother, I don't understand. Why are we taking this question seriously? It's a ridiculous question. Well, you don't think there's a difference between a lulav and davening mincha? Davening mincha is a darabona. Lulav is a diaraisa. So that doesn't make sense to you that, look, when it comes to being mekayim a mitzvah diaraisa, stop whatever you're doing and do the mitzvah. When it comes to something that the rabbona were kaveya, that right now is the time to daven. Okay, I understand. So they weren't makbid. Right now is the time to daven and interrupt anything else that you're doing. So enoch inami, when it comes to a rabbona, it's not a problem. But why do we need Rav Safra to tell me ikashos, lekashos? It's not even a problem. I'll tell you, it couldn't be that Rav Safra was coming to deal with that issue, because that isn't even an issue. It must have been like this. There is a problem here, but it's not your problem. It's a real problem in the Mishnah. The whole ambience of the Mishnah at the end is contradictory to the beginning. I mean, it's absolutely nuts. First, it says, look, when you came in, you didn't take your lulav, interrupt your meal. Oh, by the way, there's plenty of time to take your lulav. I mean, you can always take your lulav till the nighttime. Well, I understand. Am I supposed to be a nervous wreck and interrupt my meal to take my lulav right away? Or am I supposed to be soothed by the kind words of the Tana who said, don't worry about it, you got time for your lulav. What does the Mishnah mean? Yes or no? That's the problem. So first it says, l'kishikaneis l'veito noto ha-shulchanah, which means stop whatever you're doing, mafsik. Then it says, but it's okay, you know, if you don't get it done in the morning, you can take it in the afternoon. Which, I mean, seems to be saying, don't get too nervous about this. I'm a low mafsik. Omer of Safra, that is where of Safra gave his explanation. It depends how late in the day it is. That makes sense because he's trying to explain that the Mishnah is pointing out that you got to use your brains. So you do have time, But if you're chayish, you're going to run out of time. So then stop whatever you're doing now. Don't keep pushing it off. Okay, so that's an intelligent thing. And if that's what the Mishnah is saying, so then it makes sense that it puts it into those two variables. And Rav Safra is just reading to you what you have to understand as a matter of simple intellectual, childish understanding what the Mishnah must be saying. Why is that a problem? Why can't the Mishnah be, who says the Mishnah is talking about an ambience? I don't understand. The Mitzvah says, stop what you're doing, take a lulav. No. And then it's telling you, but don't misunderstand me and think that I'm telling you that if you don't take a lulav in the morning, that then you're not able to take a lulav later in the day. That's not true. I'm telling you to stop what you're doing and take the lulav if you're a bum and you didn't do that. So that doesn't mean you're putter from the lulav, you missed the time of the lulav. It means take the lulav until the last minute of the day, then that's it. What's wrong with reading the Mishnah like that? Dilma mitzvah avsuke. Look, you're supposed to be mafsik, but if you weren't mafsik, so then you can continue to take your lulav until ben arbayim. Now, it makes perfectly good sense. I don't understand what Rav is saying. I think that we should go back to where we had it in the beginning, and that that was a serious issue, and I don't believe that Rav's objection is an objection. What is he saying? Did you read the Mishnah? The Mishnah says the guy was traveling. Why do you think it says the guy was traveling? I'll tell you why. Because the Mishnah, what's Rav saying? There's a difference between a deraisa and a rabbana. Oh, when you're traveling? When are you traveling exactly? Like you're on a plane on the first day of Sukkot? I mean, obviously we're not talking about the first day of Sukkot. That's the point. So the rest of Yantiv, what's the din that the lulav is derabbana? So then it's exactly the same as the case of the mincha, which is derabbana. So then is that a good question or is it not a good question? How come when it comes to mincha, you don't have to be mafsik? And how come when it comes to lulav, you do have to be mafsik? So Rav Safra had to indicate that you still need to use your brains. When and when not? Le'olam getting our minimi kor. As far as Rav's problem is concerned, the kashim al diraisa ad rabbanan, of course it's not a difference between a diraisa and a rabbanan because the lulav in our Mishnah is not talking about a lulav diraisa. Obviously, daikanami, read the Mishnah. Why do you think the Mishnah has to tell us Baba Mises? Misha Baba Dera, Frame Biyada Lulav. Who cares why he doesn't have a Lulav? Just say somebody walked into his house, he didn't have a Lulav in the morning, and now he has to interrupt, he has his Lulav in his house. I don't care whether he was on an airplane or whatever, what difference it made? Must be to tell me exactly this point. Because the idea of Shabbat Baderech, to tell me, Isaac, that's the Yom Tov Rishon, what you really think is the Arisus, what was he doing on a plane on Yom Tov? So therefore, it's Gufa says that in order to alert you to the fact that, listen, you got a problem over here, which you're not going to be able to address by saying, oh, the Arisus, the Rabbanan. That's what Rav Safra was very intelligently coming to explain. And now we are ready for our Kapitan, who is still in quarantine. So the question is...
No, I'm not, Rabbi. I'm free and
clear. You're free and clear.
A lot of background noise.
I was gonna question whether it's okay for you to speak over Zoom, you know, under those conditions.
Around.
Yeah, everybody's around. Okay, now.
Excellent. Mishaya Eved o Isha o Katan Makrinoto. Now we're back to the halal. So we've been talking about lulav, halal. Now lulav, if you were late, okay. So now you're finally getting around to saying halal over here, and you apparently don't know how to read halal yourself. You've got an eved, or you've got an isha, or you have a katan that's reading for the halal. So then he can't or she can't be motzi you because it's not. I mean, you have a chiyav on halal. They don't have a chiyav on halal. Now you'll taina. What do you mean? But a katan has the chiyuv of the chinuch. And the chiyuv of the individual in the halal is not a diraisa. So the chinuch, which is a drabonon, and the halal, which is a drabonon, why can't the katan actually be motzi the gadol? Because we say in cases where it's both the same chiyuv. So the answer, remember, that we spoke about in Brochas, is that two drabonons are not the same as one derabbanan. In other words, a mitzvah derabbanan, and then someone is chayav only as a separate issue because there's another idea of chinuch derabbanan, so they would be chayav of this mitzvah derabbanan, is different than someone who has a direct chiyuv derabbanan. But remember that Rashi's very important distinction over there about a katan who is chayav in terms of chinuch, as Rashi points out in Brachas, How can a katan be chayev in anything? The katan is not chayev in chinuch. The father is chayev to be mechanic for katan, so why would that be considered that he can be motziu? He really doesn't have a chiyuv. Now, that is a big discussion over there, and it runs us into trouble, if that's the truth, runs us into trouble over here in our sugyas. We'll see. Because for all intents and purposes, we consider him to be capable, since the Rabbanah have defined him as someone that needs to deal with this mitzvah, he's considered to be able to be motziyu. Okay, so therefore, since over here he doesn't have the same level of chiyuv as you do, so what you have to do is not just listen to him and say amen or whatever, you got to repeat after him. He's saying, repeat after me. Okay, I'll repeat after you, and I'm saying it myself. It's just that I'm hearing from you what I'm supposed to say. But tavolo me'era, I mean, a guy like this, that he needs to rely on, I mean, a guy can't learn how to say hollow himself. And that's what Rashi says. Tosa says, what do you mean? The guy can't learn to hollow by himself. So then what does it have to do with the cotton? Then even if he has to go to shul and listen to the Shliach Tzibur, he could have said the same thing. The Mishnah doesn't say tavo me'era on somebody who has to listen to the Shliach Tzibur. So obviously that can't be the point. So the Tavo Me'ira, Tainus Tosis, has to be that he selected the wrong kind of people to be the Shliach Tzibur for him. So I mean, try to get somebody that is Choshev, that is Chayev in the mitzvah. What are you like playing games over here? What, it's not important enough for you to say, oh, we got a little boy, you know, give him some practice. It's not time for practice. This is something that is a Chiyuv. Okay, so anyway, Tavo Me'ira, so Me'ira is a getter of a Chisaron, that the person should end up having less, not more. It's like a curse of some kind. If he had a regular Shliach Tzibur saying the hallel for him, so then what he does is he keeps saying Halleluka after every phrase. Anybody who's davened with the Teimanim will have seen this. The Teimanim do this Ad Hayom. So the Shliach Tzibur says a phrase, and everybody shouts out Halleluka, and right, and this goes keeps going on through the entire hallel. So that was the way that the original Takana was made. And over there, he doesn't need to repeat. Mokom shenagu lichpol, yichpol. If it's a place where they would double some of the psukim, which we do, like odachaki anitani vatili lishua, odachaki anitani, we double all of those. Gemara's going to talk about why specifically, but where it is we start doubling. And if not, lifshot, if they just take it easy and they only say it once, fine, then that's what you should do. Always do like the minhag. Levarech, where the minhag is to say a bracha after the halal, we'll see the Gemara says is referring to, then you say the bracha after the halal. And if not, hakol k'minhag medina, follow your local Orthodox rabbi. Tana Rabbanan. So, the Braita says like this, that be'emet amru, this is a clear halacha that nobody is chalak. That certainly, here it's talking about Birkat HaMazon, that a child can be mevarech la'aviv. Now remember that over there the Gemara said it's talking about that the father had only had a kizayit, or according to Rabbi Yehuda, kibetza, but he wasn't chayev b'diraisa because there was no ve'achalta v'sabata. So he hadn't eaten b'chtei sviya, but like the Gemara said over there, hein machmir rima atzbam, afilu b'kizayit, afilu b'kibetza. So in that case, since the chayev of the father is only a drabanan, so therefore the son can say the birkat hamazon for him. An eved can be mevarech l'rabo. An isha can be mevarechet leva'ala. There the Gemara attempts to bring a raya as to whether Nashim or Chayovas and Birkat HaMazon points out that we don't know whether this case is talking about that the person, the male, is Chayev in the Diraisa of the Rabbanan. So you can't bring a raya from here. Fine, but whatever the case is, it's here as well that you're using a cotton to be mevarech for you. Amru Chachamim, this is a bizayon. Tavo me'ira la'adam shishtov anav mevarechim lo. That a person like that should suffer for the fact that he couldn't take on himself to learn how to say Birkat HaMazon, he needs to always come on to his wife or to an Eved. It's not nice. Omar Rav. So Rav says, you know, that you'll notice that our minhag in reading the halal is very weird. Because it just does not seem to be consistent. Some things we say once, some things we say twice, some things we respond to the Shliach Tzibur, but we don't say them ourselves. Other things we do say ourselves. We have him say, Hodol Hashem ki tov, ki lolam chasdo, and then we repeat that, and then we say, On Hashem Moshiana, On Hashem Atzlichan. We're like, what is the point of all of that? Either we're going to say it with them or we're not going to say it with them. So Taina's Rava like this. Originally, the Takana of Halal was, as it always is at the beginning, that most people are not going to know how to deal with the Halal. They're not used to reading those Pirkei Tehillim. And so because of that, when the Nevi'im were mitakein the Halal, so it was mitukan, basically, to hear the Halal from people. So there was a Shliach Tzibur would read the Halal. Now, there was a difference between if somebody was a Baki and the Halal, they were going to sing the Halal along. You didn't need it. And there's also the possibility that you may end up in a position where the Shliach Tzibur is a kid who cannot be Motzi, where you need to repeat it. So basically, the minhag evolved, says Rava, in a very intelligent way. Because even though nowadays, almost everyone at Rava's time, today, even this we don't do because, as the Mefarshim point out, literally everyone is a Baki in how to say Halal. Everybody's got a Siddur, and even these minhagim, many of them we don't keep, as we'll see. But initially, what happened was that as the Halal became more popular, and most people did know how to do the Halal, but it was important not to forget the details of how to deal with a Halal when you don't know. So where would those people ever learn what they're supposed to do about the Halal? So because of that, we incorporated an example, one example of every minhag that you need to know once in the Halal, so that you would learn, what is that? Oh, that's in case, etc., etc., whatever the case is, in case the cotton is being mockery, in case you're not a Baki, in case it's the beginning of a chet, so on and so forth, as we'll see. So therefore, Rava says, look, there's tremendous things to learn from what looks to be crazy minhag. You can learn very important halachas just from the way that we have our minhag nowadays. And look, the minhag at that time was that instead, even though people were bekiyim, instead of reading together, halleluka, hallelu, instead, only the chazan would say the word halleluka, and everybody would say halleluka after it. If it's halleluka, they would say halleluka. So this is just there in order for us to know that there is, in fact, even though everybody was reading the rest together, you should just know that in the event that the original takana was, that everybody should say halleluka together. And that they got from the Shliach Tzibur said halleluka, everybody should say halleluka. And that is something that was done, whether you were a Baki, you weren't a Baki. As to why we don't do it today, that's already a lot of discussion. Why did this not retain our minhag if that was part of the takana? Fine. But Lamai said that was the original takana. Then, so mikan shemitzvah lanot halleluka. Now, what happens after that is that they retained for one sentence the minhag of the Taimani. So that what it was that everybody would do is that the chazan would begin, halleluka, and everybody would say halleluka. Halleluah de Hashem, and everybody would say halleluka again. So that was, and that was it. That was the only time that they did that. But that was to remind people that in the event that you are someone who cannot say the halal on his own, and you're listening to the Shliach Tzibur, then what you should be doing is participating in the song and in the simcha by repeating the word halleluka after each phrase. So they did it one time to retain that minhag. So who omer halleluah de Hashem? Everybody would say halleluka, from which they retained the minhag that if a gadol, not a katan, but if a gadol was being makriyu, so then after every phrase, you're supposed to say halleluka. Okay. Then the Shliach Tzibur says, hodu l'Hashem kitov, and everybody says the same thing. Hodu l'Hashem kitov. Now, why do they do that? That's because there is a specific mitzvah la'anot roshei prakim, even though we said before that there's a mitzvah to say halleluka, but if you start another perek, then the mitzvah is to repeat the beginning of the perek. So if they say b'tzeit Yisroel mimitzrayim, so then you're supposed to say b'tzeit Yisroel mimitzrayim. If instead of halleluka, you just keep repeating, but say, Yisroel Mimitzrayim. It's really beautiful. Beitz Yaakov Miam Lohez, Beitz Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Hoyes Ayud Ala Kacher, Beitz Yisrael Mimitzrayim. I mean, it's like a beautiful rhythm, right? And it all ties into that. We do that once. Where do we do that? Hodu Lashem Kitov. Hodu Lashem Kitov. Yomer Na Beitz Yisrael. Hodu Lashem Kitov. Okay, so that's where we retained that minute, right? But that's at the beginning of a new parak. Okay. Itmar Nami, Omer Chana Bar Rava, Mitzvah La'anot Roshei Prakim. You're supposed to be repeating the beginning of that parak. Okay. Another thing, says Rava. Why do you think that the Shmiach Tzibur says, Ona Hashem Oshiana, and everybody repeats, Ona Hashem Oshiana? How come you're repeating, Ona Hashem Oshiana? Ah, because you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, this is a weird thing. Why all of a sudden do we need to hear from him, Ona Hashem Oshiana, and then, Maman Hashach, if we're going to hear from him, why do we repeat it? So they'll remember that in the event that a Katan was the one who was the Shliach Tzibur, that then it's not enough for them to just say Alleluia or anything like that. They're going to need to actually say word for word after him. So we do that once. Ona Hashem Oshiana. Okay, in the event that it was a cotton, what will you do? I'll say Ona Hashem Oshiana. Great. Okay, now what about the next thing? So Mikan Shimaya Katan Makriyoto Onin Acharav Mashur Omer. You have to say it because he can't be motzi you. Okay, but then why do we say Ona Hashem Atzlichana? I mean, we already learned that lesson. Oh, that's for another reason. Hu Omer Ona Hashem Atzlichana Vehin Omrim Ona Hashem Atzlichana. That teaches me that you can repeat a pasuk. That's the point. Because since I was already Yotzei from the Godol who is being mockery me, so then that means that if I repeat it now, I'm saying it twice. So that's like saying, Otcha ki anitani va'ili lishua, Otcha ki anitani va'ili lishua, Ona Hashem Atzlichana, Ona Hashem Atzlichana, right? So that's the point. Bikanshi im balichpol, gofil. That teaches you that it is okay to double. I mean, obviously, it doesn't matter whether we learn this one from Ona Hashem Oshiana, we want to learn the one about the katan from Ona Hashem Atzlichana, but he's just saying the point that we do this twice is that one time should remind you of that minhag, and the other time should remind you of that halacha, right? So, okay. Now, this idea, this we don't do, this next piece, but they had a minhag that Hu Omer Baruch Haba, so the Shliach Tzibur would say Baruch Haba, and then he would shut up, according to most of the Rishonim, says then he would shut up. So he says Baruch Haba, and then everybody says B'Shem Hashem. It's very cute. Okay, but what does that teach me? It's really weird. Either you're going to say the pasuk or you're not going to say the pasuk. So from here we learn that a Shomea is Keoneh. That if you heard it, I only heard him say Baruch Haba. That's the same thing as if I said Baruch Haba. I mean, otherwise it's idiotic. What are you shouting out? B'Shem Hashem. You didn't say anything about B'Shem Hashem. So, I mean, you would think, even if you could be Yotzei, it's a Shomea Ka'oneh. But, I mean, it's not going to be the same thing. It's not literally Ka'oneh. I mean, it's absurd for you to say half of it and for him to say half of it. Kamashmo, no. Shomea Ka'oneh. Literally. Right? So it's as if you said it yourself. So therefore you can just say the last piece, which is brilliant. Okay. So that proves, and in fact, this was like this Shaila that had been asked by Rukhiya Bar Abba. What would be the din if somebody hears somebody saying that he was Mokhliyev to say, and he didn't say anything? Is that the same? I mean, does he have to say Amen or something like that? Or it's okay just to have heard it? It's the question. So the question over here is, there's a very interesting issue about Rashi learns from here. We learned out that Shomei, first of all, let me just read what he answered him. Omalos Rabchia said, listen, let's not start bringing up new chumras around here, okay? Everybody knows the answer to that. Chakimaya, Safraya, Reshe Amma, Darashaya. I don't care who you ask. You know, you can ask the Tamar Chachomim. You can ask the kids, teachers in school. You can ask the Mefarnesim. You can ask people who give drushes. They'll all tell you, Shama velo ana yatsa. Let's not bring up something that everybody knows about. Now, Rashi brings from here a very interesting thing, right? So And he brings this from the Bahag, Halacha Lamaisa. Rashi says, so if that's the case, so suppose you're in the middle of davening, and the Shliach Tzibur is saying Kaddish or Kedusha, so then you should be able to be quiet and be Yotzei with his Kaddish and Kedusha, and then you don't miss anything, and then you just go back, because it's Keone, but it's not a Hefsek. Now, that doesn't necessarily follow, but that is the way that the Bahag actually paskins, and so it's not considered to be. It's as if you said it yourself without saying yourself. Mashenkin, obviously, you could argue the exact opposite. You could argue that if Shomea Ka'one, and Bibidavka said it's exactly the same, that's why you only have to say half, and then let him say half, and then you say half. So on the contrary, then the Gemara is coming out and saying that it's as if you actually said it, so then it should be a half second, you shouldn't, which basically other Rishonim Taina, the Ritva Taina is that. And okay, here's a big machlokas halacha lemaisa. I mean, even though the Shulchan Aruch basically paskins that you do, but we don't. Okay. Itmar Nami. There may be a difference between the Sfaradim and Ashkenazim. I have to look up what the meaning is. Itmar Nami. Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapora. How do we know from the Torah that a Shomea is literally as if he said it? Because what happened is that when they discovered the Sefer Torah at the time of Yoshio, that was the Sefer Torah that had been hidden and that wasn't destroyed by the Rishayim, who destroyed all of the Sefer Torah before, so and Yoshio was coming to rebuild Tshuva and Shmir Satera and so on. So it opened up onto the Teichacha and the Yolicha Shebes Balkacha and so on, and he was devastated. So it says over there that basically Shafan had read it to him. He sends a message to Chulda HaNeviah in which he tells her over this horrible thing that happened, and they found the Sefer Torah open like that. I mean, her Golo to that place, and like, you know, he's devastated, and what should he do? So she answered the shlichim that he sent to her. So she said to him that, listen, the Gemara, there's Darish over there that she was a little bit of a chutzpaniak in the way that she spoke about him. She said the guy instead of calling him a melech and so on. But what she said was, tell the guy that sent you to me. So it says, first she says, look, this is what Hashem is saying basically, that hinani mevi ra'a l'makom hazeh v'yoshvav, this is a raya that there's going to be a terrible churban, et kol divrei ha-sefer asher kara melech Yehuda. Now that means that she was saying that Yoshio had read this sefer. Doesn't say anywhere that Yoshio had read the sefer. It only said that Shafan had read the sefer to Yoshio. Therefore, says the Gemara, why does she say that? V'chi Yoshio Koran, halo Shafan Koran. It says beferish dichtiv vayikra'eu Shafan lifnei ha-melech. It says that he was the one that read the sefer to the melech, and not that the melech read it himself, the pharish. So he comes and he says, sefer natan lichukio hakohen, v'yikreyu shafan lifnei ha-melech. Says the Gemara, but what, how does that prove that just because Yoshio heard it from Shafan, that it's the same as his having read it? Maybe afterwards he heard this terrible thing from Shafan, so maybe he sat down, he opened the Sefer Torah, and he read it himself, and that's when it made that terrible impact on him. I mean, how do you know that just because it doesn't tell us? I mean, the fact that the Torah doesn't tell you everything that happened, that it's not a riot that it didn't happen, is it? So, Dioma Bota de Karanu Shafan Karayashayom. Why can't it be that he read it afterwards? Omer of Achabar Yaakov, he definitely did not read it, because when she writes back, she tells the shlichim, she says, tell the guy who sent you here that Yan Rach Levavcha Vatikana Bipnei Hashem B'shom Acha Asher Dibarti Al HaMakom HaSev Al Yoshvav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered you, this was her defiance, that since you did the Shuvah and you were shaken to the core by reading these words, Liyot l'shama v'liklala Vatikrad begadecha, you tore your clothing, vatifkelefadain, you were crying. Gam anochi shamati nu mashem, because of that there's aracha to the tzar. But why would he have said b'shamacha? Why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu have said b'koracha? So obviously it was b'davke b'shamacha and not b'koracha. So it was clear that Yoshio never actually read it. And yet, before the Pasuk says the words that the Melech Yisrael had read. So apparently, Shomei HaKavana. Omar Ravi, you know, when you're reading the Halal and you get to Baruch Haba B'Shem Hashem, you should be very careful. Don't say Baruch Haba, because we just learned that the Shliach Tzibur says Baruch Haba and everybody says B'Shem Hashem. And that is the whole point, that it shouldn't, people say, well, what are you yelling B'Shem Hashem and you don't even say anything? Not allowed to say B'Shem Hashem, stam, right? So if you're reading it on your own, don't do that, because then it's a disaster. If you say, Baruch Haba, and then Barney interrupts, it's time to take a drink. Say, Baruch Haba, okay. B'Shem Hashem, that's terrible. Because then you're just saying B'Shem Hashem in the middle of nowhere. So the fact that we do it in this way to make sure that we remember the halacha doesn't mean that when you're alone and you're reading it, that you should listen to Barnea. Right. So therefore, lo lema inish baruch haba, and then, after taking his drink, b'shem Hashem. You should say baruch haba, b'shem Hashem, together. Now, the Rabbeinu Chananel's gear says, obviously, the correct gear is over here, and therefore, we skip to the next line. Omar Rava, furthermore, lo lema inish yeish mei rabba. So this guy's got a lot of kavanah, right? So he's saying, Yeish Mei Rabbah. And meanwhile, yeah, what about it? Yeah, Mavurach. Right? So, he's also talking about the Shem Hashem, and he's not saying anything about it. I mean, what I understand what he's talking about, the Shem Hashem. So a person shouldn't talk like that. You shouldn't say, Yeish Mei Rabbah, Mavurach. You should say, Yeish Mei Rabbah, Mavurach, together. So Rav Safra says to Rava, Meisha, I mean, anybody, as Rashi says, the Gadol Hador, the one who's the leader of the Dor, he says that Meisha, Shapir Kamrit, I mean, come on, said, this is really kedai to make a fuss about this. Hatam v'hacha, suke milta, in both of these cases that you're bringing, this is just the normal way that people, I mean, it's clear that he's going to be completing his statement. What makes a big deal about it? V'letlan bav, what's the problem? It's not so serious. So it's clear that the guy's in the middle of a sentence. Who is the idiot who's going to think, what, you're just talking about the Shem Hashem and not saying anything about it? I mean, come on. I mean, it's really a little bit pedantic, you don't think? So this is not an issue that we should worry about. Okay, we could stop. Or we could finish. Another couple of minutes. I hate closing the screen because then I can't see you. So, Tana. Rebbe kofel badvar. So Rebbe said kofel, like the Mishnah says, double the things. And Rebbe Elazar ben Parta added even more things than Rebbe thing. So he added additional words. So Rebbe would start from Anasha Moshiana, Anasha Moshiana. So why is it that we dafka in that place? Because look, consider the way that we did it, right, up until this time. The whole thing was repetitive. In other words, each one of the psukim is followed by another pasuk that's basically the same thing, you know? It's like Hashem li lo ira, ma ya'aseh li adam. Hashem li ozri, v'ani ara b'sonai. It's the same thing. It's like, so there's an idea over here of like restating it in a way that's slightly different, but it's basically the idea. So it just keeps on going, right? Tov lakasot b'Hashem mi b'tov b'adam. Tov lakasot b'Hashem mi b'tov b'nedivim. It's the same thing. I mean, b'nedivim is also Adam, right? Kol goyim sivavuni b'shem Hashem ki amilam. Savuni gam sivavuni again. B'shem Hashem ki amilam. The whole thing, all the way up until Odecha, is repetitive. So therefore, in order to maintain that rhythm, so there was a minute to be kaifa. Now, Rebbe was only careful from the Ana Hashem in terms of the tefillah. But Rebbe Elazar, he did it the way we did it, Rebbe Elazar ben Parta, and he would add from Odecha. So my Mosif, what would he add? Mosif lichpomi, Odecha lopata. So he would do, and that is where we got the idea of having the challah the way we have with those doubled psukim. Makom shenagu levarech yevarech. Amar Abaye, wait a minute. That's only talking about the bracha after the challah. Before the challah, of course, you have to make a bracha. The Amar of Yidon Bar Shmuel, kol ha-mitzvot kulan, levarech aleim over la'asiyatam. You know what's coming next, as it always does. How do we know that over? We'll do that tomorrow. But meanwhile, there is the question over here, which is a major source of different minhagim in Yisrael, whether do you say a bracha on a halal when there's no real chiyav on the halal, which is the minhag b'yalma. So let's say on Rosh Chodesh, there's no chiyav on the halal. Or on the other days of Pesach, where there's a minhag to say a halal, what we call the chatzi halal, because we certainly don't want to make the whole halal where you're not supposed to say it, or if there isn't a chiyav to say it. Okay, so we're maskir most of the halal, we call it a chatzi halal. So there are many people, Ashkenazim in general, make the bracha on the halal. The Rambam paskins, you never make a bracha on a minhag. How can you make a bracha on a minhag? It doesn't say, how can you say Asher Kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu to do something that there's no Kedishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu? So because of that, the Sfardim don't make the bracha, and those who are knowing Minhag Sfard, even in Ashkenaz, many don't make the bracha either. So many of the Hasidim don't make the bracha. The Ari make the bracha, obviously. Okay, so that what Abaye was saying shouldn't be misunderstood as saying you certainly have to say a bracha before what we call the chatzi halal. It means you say a bracha before saying the actual halal.